There are about 50 gull species around the world, but gulls don't always get much respect in birding circles.
Amar Ayash aims to change that. He's the author of The Gull Guide North America and one of the organizers of the annual Gull Frolic, which will be held next month in Illinois near the Wisconsin border.
Lee Rayburn spoke to him about his book, how he became fascinated with gulls, and what makes these birds so unique.
You've recently published this definitive guide to gulls in North America. It's over 500 pages. It's far more pictures than that. Where did your love of these birds come from?
Oh, you know, it's so weird because usually people begin bird watching and then they get hooked on a special group of birds, whether it be owls or ducks or raptors. With me, I just had a natural curiosity for gulls before I even knew of organized bird watching. And I just drive around looking for different types of gulls, dams, rivers, parks, lakefronts. And I bumped into birders who told me, you know, this is a tricky group of birds that you're looking at here. These are some of the most despised birds in the avian world. And it's funny because the more I thought about it, it turns out they really are. They're underdogs in the avian world, both with bird watchers and it seems with just a lot of ordinary people who don't have a great appreciation for gulls. So something, I don't know, I think was working in my mind thinking, what is it about these birds that makes them underdogs? And so once I learned that they have different plumages and different age groups, and that they come with an immense amount of variation in their plumages, I thought that was fascinating, and I wanted to know more about them.
How many different types of gulls are out there?
Well, in North America, we've had about 28 species recorded. Worldwide, there's a little over 50, about 52, 53, depending on the taxonomy you follow.
Wow. So what is it about some birders who would refer to gulls as rats with wings or beach rats and Amar Ayash who sees an entire community in these birds? What's the difference between you and other birders when it comes to gulls?
There's a lack of appreciation for just the ordinary. We tend not to be impressed by ordinary organisms that can thrive around us, you know, whether it be a crow or a goose or a duck at the pond. It's not as fascinating if it's able to thrive around Homo sapiens for some odd reason. And so I think that's part of it. There's less of appreciation for them because they're not very rare. But among the gulls, some of the rarest birds, I mean, hot on any bird watcher's list, our gull species that live in the Arctic, don't spend a lot of time down here. Things like Ross's gull and ivory gull are some of the most coveted, ironically, some of the most coveted bird species in the world.
Is it because they're so rare?
Because they're so rare, because they live in these remote, desolate regions that very few people can reach. When we get like a Ross's gull to stray down here to the lower 48, you'll have people crossing state lines and driving hundreds of miles to see them. And then strangely, you know, your ordinary herring gull or ring-billed gull will be looked right past by these same birders.
So you seem, and I've heard elsewhere, you describing these birds as not ordinary, but rather exceptional in the way that they adapt, in the way that they can survive on land, in the air, or on water. Why should people like me pay attention, a little closer attention to gulls?
Well, if you live on the Great Lakes, you're seeing gulls every month of the year. Mm-hmm. And especially so in the winter season, November through March. A lot of people start to hibernate because it's cold out, but those are literally the best months to see the greatest variety of gulls. We have gulls that come down from central Canada, northern Canada, and they spend their winters down here on the Great Lakes, our rivers, our inland reservoirs. And so if you want to see some wildlife in the winter months, some spectacular plumages, things like Iceland gull and Glaucus gull, you're in a great geographic location to see that. And I think once you see your first Iceland gull, it's hard not to want to see more of these birds because they are just so spectacular and pristine, and these off-white and beige plumages. They look quite different than the ordinary ring-billed and herring gulls that you see in the summer months. They're coming down here, and this is their south. This is about the southern limit for these birds. They come down to the Great Lakes, and admittedly, most of them are feeding in our landfills. That's what they're doing in the winter months. But they're spectacular birds. Just lovely backdrop if you have one against the lake somewhere. I couldn't imagine any body of water without gulls, right? I mean, if you think back to your childhood or think back to going to an amusement park, it just seems odd to think that these settings would be without gulls.
How adaptable are gulls to their climate and you know, in the face of climate change? What makes them so adaptable?
Well, we know that right now gulls are among the most resilient bird groups. They've taken to our presence, to our actions. They have such varied diets that they're able to do this. They're okay being out at sea. They're okay being in our ag fields. They're okay being in our landfills, taking handouts. Now, we have gulls that feed in trees, that feed on crab apples and Russian olives. And so having such a general diet makes it a lot more likely that they're going to be okay when other bird groups are going to be in decline.
Have we seen gulls go extinct as far as we know?
No. So for as long as modern taxonomy has kept records, we don't know of any gull species that's ever gone extinct, amazingly.
Yeah, we're talking about gulls and the upcoming gull frolic. With us is Amar Ayash, the author of the definitive book about gulls called The Gull Guide North America. So give us a little bit of a preview. The gull frolic is coming up here on February 26th. It's taking place at North Point Marina in Illinois, which is just south of the Wisconsin border here. And the event is already sold out. What is this gull frolic, Amar?
Yeah, so we are in a yacht club right on the lakefront on Lake Michigan, and we are literally looking into Wisconsin the entire day. We're about, I don't know, maybe 500 yards from the Wisconsin state line. So we rent this yacht club, and we have about 150, 175 people present. We're outside chumming the gulls, bringing gulls in, and they're just coming in from north, south, east, west. And we get them close enough to where people who struggle with gull identification can see them close enough, and we can point out certain features and field marks. So we have birders that come in from Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, usually the surrounding Midwestern states. And we'll have a public speaker come and talk to us about some neat topic. It's usually not gull related, but the gulls are outside for everybody to see, and this will be our 23rd year having this event, which is sold out every year. great time to come by and see some gulls up and close.
I'd like to listen to a gull call here. This is courtesy of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and what we're going to hear here is a Bonaparte gull. So, Amar, to my untrained ear, all I hear are angry birds. What does that sound like to you?
Yeah, so this is most likely Bonaparte's gulls feeding. Mm. And these are social calls. They're often calling other gulls in. As greedy as they are, when they do find like a school of fish or some crustaceans or something to feed on, they do give these calls and they bring in other birds. Because they're very social, they feed on social cues, and they find food together and they flock together. Bonaparte's gull is a small 2-year gull. It takes 2 years to acquire adult plumage. This is the only gull in the world that prefers nesting in trees. Huh. It's a tree nesting gull, and they breed in Canada in the Muskeg Wilderness in black spruce trees. They don't actually breed in the U.S. But they do migrate by the hundreds through Lake Michigan in the spring and in the fall. And a really good place to see them is Sheboygan and Manitowoc in the summer season.
Are there any gulls, Amar, that you have yet to see in the wild that you are searching for still?
Yeah, so there are some endemic species where you have to take special trips to special parts of the world to see them because they're not widespread. And one of them is Saunders gull. I'd have to go to like Central Mongolia or Japan in the winter to see them. And I've missed them twice on two attempts by now. And there's a couple others that I'll probably get around to in the next few years. But I have almost all the gulls nailed down at this point.
Amar, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Amar Ayash is the author of The Gull Guide North America and an organizer of the Gull Frolic on Lake Michigan. He spoke with Lee Rayburn.
Tomorrow, we'll visit Douglas County for a look at an annual tradition, Fisherama, an ice fishing event that serves as a community fundraiser.
And we want to hear from ice fishers around the state. Do you get out on the ice each year? What got you into it? What keeps you coming back?
And are there challenges? Fisherama has had to cancel at least one ice fishing event because of thin ice. Is your fishing spot reliably icy enough?
Tell us about your ice fishing experiences. Email us at wisconsintoday@wpr.org, or you can call or text to get in touch at 888-642-0232. That's 888-642-0232.
Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to WPR News.